What a day Good Friday is. The last month at Community Church, we have been ministering about the cross. And tonight, I really want to just share a bunch of scriptures about the cross with us together. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God.
Amen.
He went on to say, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The message of the cross. That's really why we're here today. Because of the cross of our Savior. Franklin Graham said, in every generation, the cross of Jesus is attacked. And in your life and my life, the cross is under continuous attack. I want to talk about three S words. The significance of the cross, the symbolism of the cross, and then we're going to think a little bit about how we steward the cross. Very simply, the significance of the cross, we can very capably, all of us, say. But let me share two thoughts in this regard. Through the cross, our debt was paid. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Thank God for the cross.
Amen.
Secondly, the cross negates all the charges against us. Not some, but all the charges that could come against you and me. Paul told the Colossians, he forgave our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulation that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
Yes,
our debts paid. Our charges have been negated.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is significance in the message of the cross.
You bet.
Jesus said this in John 12, when I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me. He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. Think about the symbolism of the cross. I want to give you four thoughts about this. The symbolism of the cross. First thing it symbolizes is self-denial. It's not a fun word to talk about, but Friday's not a fun message. Death. And the self-denial of our Lord. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't even open his mouth.
Right.
Think about what we've heard from Scripture tonight, from our readers, from Mark's Gospel. Our Lord practiced self-denial. He said in this Gospel, not what I will, but what you will, Lord, speaking to his Father. It said, and we heard it, they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he wouldn't even take it because he was denying himself. They hurled insults against him. They mocked him. And even those crucified with him hurled insults on him. We heard that tonight from the Scripture. Peter, in his first epistle, we're told he was there at the cross, you know. He said, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live forever.
Amen.
By his wounds, you have been healed.
That's right, man. Thank you.
The message of the cross.
Yeah, that's right, man.
The self-denial of our Savior. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take his cross, and follow me. Self-denial is a part of the message of the cross that's referred to as foolishness and weakness. But God refers to it as His power and His wisdom. Self-denial. Let's think about another very closely connected, maybe a twin, that word suffering. Jesus suffered. We heard that in our reading of Scripture tonight again. He suffered much at Calvary. Yeah. Isaiah describes that in the 52nd chapter in these words. There were many who were appalled at Him. His appearance was so disfigured, beyond that of any man, and His form marred beyond human likeness. Suffering? I don't know suffering, but my Savior knew suffering.
Yes, amen.
That well-known 53rd chapter of Isaiah says things like this. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men. He is familiar with suffering, pierced, crushed, oppressed and afflicted, cut off. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Him. And the will of the Lord prospered in His hand. There is, out of suffering, prosperity, life, help, encouragement. And it says this in that 53rd chapter too, speaking of Him. He will see the light of life and be satisfied. Suffering. That too is part of the message of the cross. Your Bible and mine read the same. If we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I heard one great, great phrase tonight. Well, I heard lots of great phrases from our readers. And it was that out of the 15th chapter of Mark in the 38th verse, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. We're talking about symbolism of the cross. We've talked about self-denial. We've talked about suffering. How about victory? What does the tearing of the curtain mean but victory for us? You know, it was really allowing us to take a peek in. But more than a peak, we could go into the presence of God. That wouldn't have happened without the cross. Victory. Victory. That's our third word here in symbolism. John, the Revelator, in the 5th chapter of Revelation, said this about Jesus. Don't weep. See, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able. Then we have that picture. Who's able to open the scroll and who's able to read it? It says there, I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. He came, He took the scroll. You are worthy to take the scroll because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Sounds like victory to me.
Indeed.
Great victory. In the first chapter of Revelation, John says this, Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father. And then we have that picture in that 18th verse, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever.
Amen.
And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Paul says this about the victory of the cross. He took it away, nailing it to His cross. And having, listen, disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. By the cross. By the cross. With a loud voice, Jesus breathed His last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Do you know it was a hand's width wide? Do you know they say it was 60 feet by 30 feet? Do you know Josephus said that it would take up to 300 priests? And the cross opened up to us such great victory. Hallelujah. Leads me to my fourth word in this symbolism. Self-denial, suffering, victory, and life. Life, life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And that more abundantly. That to the full. He said this, I lay it down. Only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. The message of the cross. The life. Augustine said he gave up his life because he willed it when he willed it and as he willed it. He must be killed. He must be killed, Jesus began to tell his disciples in the days and weeks and months before the cross. He said he must be killed and after 3 days he'll rise again. Mark 8. Mark 9 he says, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. They will kill him and after 3 days he will arise. Chapter 10 of Mark says, they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. 3 days later he will rise. Mark 14, strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go ahead of you. Life, life. You see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven in Mark 14. They saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. They were alarmed. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. The message of the cross is a message of death, but in the death there is the life. Yes. And the life is the firstborn. And we are full of life because of the message that the cross brings us. Amen. So how do we steward this message of the cross? How do we steward it? Well, we've got to apply it. We've got to apply it. Knowledge without application, it's foolishness. It's powerless. But to apply the message of the cross is at least, at a very minimum, a twofold process. You know the verse as well, Romans 10. This is the first of those two. Minimum standards required to apply the cross. The word is near you, in your mouth, the scripture says, and in your heart. That if you confess with the mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You and I must apply the message of the cross to our lives with our mouth, with our confession, with our heart, with our faith, with our belief that God raised Him from the dead and He today is Lord of life and Lord of me. Stewardship of the cross. What's the other part? The second part of applying it. Matthew 16 tells us, Mark 8 tells us, Luke 9 tells us all the same thing. And in Luke's account, it adds one extra word, and I like it. And it's the word daily. And this is what it says. In addressing, applying and responding to the cross in my life, in your life, this is what Jesus said in the Gospels. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, and Luke says, daily, and follow me. sounds to me like in that simple verse in those Gospels. We have all four of these symbols: self-denial, sacrifice, victory, and life. Applying the cross, stewarding the cross. But also we have to allow it to be an integral part of our lives. Jesus said, I've set you example that you should do as I have done for you. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, even becoming obedient even to the death of the cross. Stewardship of this message. Stewardship. I have to allow it to be an integral part of my life. Paul said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Live in confidence that He who has begun the good work in you will complete it. Steward the cross. Apply it daily. Allow it to be an integral part of your life. And lastly, if we're going to steward the cross, we're called to share it. We are called to share the message of the cross. We are called to declare that. The resurrection day words of Jesus were not only, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid, He is risen, but it was, go and tell. Mark put it this way, the commission of Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Matthew, in his account, Jesus puts it this way, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always. John's account, Jesus says, you're witnesses of these things. Stewarding the message of the cross is sharing the message of the cross. And in John's Gospel, it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord again. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Amen. We are charged with this stewardship.
Right.
Luke had said, you're witnesses. I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you're endued or you're clothed with power from on high. In the Acts, just before Jesus ascended, He said, wait for the gift of the Father. You heard me speak about Him. You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Scripture closes in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, referring to the Christ followers, the church called there the bride, with these go and tell sharing words in focus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We're stewards of this message of the cross, folks. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. The foolishness of the message of the cross. It's the power, it's the wisdom. It's not weakness, it's not foolishness. It's our strength. This message. And I'm called to apply it. Praise God. I'm allowed to make a choice, to make it an integral part of my daily life. And I have this great mission in life that I share with you. and that is to go and tell. Yes, Good Friday is ugly, but it's beautiful. It's hard. Oh, it's easy when it's someone else, but when it's you or me denying ourselves or suffering or making choices because of our love for God, sometimes it's a different story. The Scripture says Jesus loved you even to the end.
That's right.
And when He breathed His last, I'm glad, a big old 4-inch curtain was ripped apart. And you and I and the people before us and those who will come after have access into the very presence of God. And let the Spirit say, come. And let the bride say, come. And let all who hear say, come. Amen.